Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With former prosecutor and guest Lori Gilbertson.
Jeff Gurman, seasoned investigative journalist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, known for his relentless pursuit of exposing corruption and holding truth to power. He was murdered. Yeah. And the murderer, Robert Tellis, now found guilty of that murder, but a fairly light sentence for murder, I think one would say. Joining me to discuss, Lori Gilbertson, former prosecutor. Lori, I want to talk to you about the narrative testimony that he gave, because that's a little different than what we see in most cases. I don't think I've seen it ever, quite honestly. Can you give me a little more insight as to why maybe he went down this road of narrative testimony? And what is the difference when the judge says, yeah, go ahead, do narrative testimony?
Yeah, you know, I have to say, in my 10 years of prosecuting, I never saw it. I never saw a defendant give narrative testimony in New York. And, you know, I'm not quite sure about everything that went into that decision, of course, between the defendant here and his lawyer. But often what narrative testimony means is that the defendant wants to get up and tell his story, tell his version of events, and the attorney, I don't know if this is the case here, but the attorney is under an obligation not to put anything out before the court and before the jury that could possibly be false or that he knows may be false. So if an attorney knows that a defendant and his client may be getting up to do that, often the attorney steps back and there is this kind of narrative testimony where the defendant is getting up, he's telling his version of events, and the attorney steps back so that he is not a part really of presenting that evidence. That's you know, my understanding of how it certainly works, and I have never seen it before. So it's really interesting in this way for the defendant to get up and do this. It often means, too, that the attorney may not have wanted him to do that. Okay. But the defendant really, really said, I am going to do this, and I'm determined.
Well, and he was an attorney as well, the Robert Tellis. So I can only imagine how those conversations went. With his own attorney of, I think I'm always right. And the attorney's like, this is a bad idea. If they are giving narrative testimony and and the attorney is saying, you know, not a good idea, or they have some knowledge that what he's going to present is not true, doesn't that kind of speak to the jury like right away going, this is a little odd that even his own attorney is allowing this? Does it imply that Tellis is going to say things that are not true?
You know, it, as I said, the law behind it and the way that that works in court does seem to imply that. But in order for him to get a fair trial, I'm not sure what the judge did in this case, but the judge would certainly say that he has the right to do that. He has the right to get up and talk, and that the jury is not to make any inference from the fact that he is doing it in this narrative way. And that's really how you have to kind of get rid of any assumptions from the jury of why this may be happening the way it's happening.
Let's take a look at some of that testimony that Robert Tellis gave. Let's take a look at him on some cross tough questions as he tries to explain his way through his weird version of reality. Let's take a look.
You don't doubt that whoever that is killed Mr. Gehrman. That would be fair, right?
Yes.
Okay. You had mentioned one of the things that struck you was you watched the autopsy or you saw the autopsy photos and you were struck by the violence of it, correct?
No, sir.
No, you did not. Were you bothered by the photographs?
I was.
Why is that?
It's gruesome. I'm not used to seeing dead people.
Okay. I think you said it was ugly. Is that correct?
I may have.
All right. And you had told this jury that you felt like it looked like someone who knew what they were doing. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You believe this was a professional hit?
And that's what I believe.
Okay. So, and you believe this killer is kind of almost like someone hired to do this job, like an assassin, essentially, right?
That is what I believe, yes, sir.
All right. Now, I want to take a look at this picture for a second. The assassin seems to be wearing a giant sun hat. It's a pretty big hat, right?
Yes, sir.
It's fairly noticeable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You think that might attract attention?
I would think so.
Okay, but this is a professional.
Right.
All right. And this professional is also wearing a bright orange shirt, correct?
Yes, sir.
Professional?
Yes, sir.
But wouldn't that attract attention?
I think that's part of the reason, actually. If I could elaborate.
No. You believe that professional assassins want to draw attention to themselves when they're carrying out murder. That's your testimony?
When they're framing someone, yes, sir.
So the answer to my question is yes. You believe professional assassins like to draw attention to themselves.
It depends on what the nature of their goal is, and if it's to frame someone, yes, sir.
So the answer to my question is yes.
Yes, absolutely.
That's got to be frustrating if you're the prosecutor there and you're just stating facts and reality. And he's in his own world. Yeah, of course, professional assassins want to draw attention. Why wouldn't they? Are you insane? It's going to make you kind of question your own sanity for a moment.
You know, I know there's something to be said here about this being in Las Vegas, but Tony, for the life of me, I don't know what it is, but I know there's something about this being in Vegas that, may kind of add to all of this strangeness. But, you know, as a prosecutor, you know, I'm listening to the questions. And as prosecutor on cross, you want to ask questions, you're stating facts, you're getting the person you're cross-examining, the witness, to either agree or disagree. And you don't necessarily go to the conclusion of you believe professional assassins want to draw attention to themselves, right? So, you don't have to get to that question. Mm-hmm. And one way for the prosecutor to kind of do this and maybe be a little less frustrated, if they were, is just you're getting all the facts out.
Yeah.
And then on closing argument, as I'm sure the prosecutor was able to do, you get to say, you know, he's telling you that this professional assassin wore a straw hat and wore, you know, a big floppy hat and wore an orange shirt and did all this when in fact a professional assassin would not be drawing attention to themselves. Mm-hmm. And so you get to make that argument. You know, he did a pretty good job of keeping the defendant in check. Mm-hmm. You know, when that is the thing you hear as a prosecutor, you hear, let me elaborate. And yeah. You say, nope, not your turn. You got your narrative. This is my turn.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.